Authority, Who Can We Trust? Was presented by Walter Steeb with a response by David Crabtree on October 20th, 2007 at the 2007 Oktoberfest entitled Reading Minds, Dialogues Between Two Generations. The copyright for this recording is held by Gutenberg College, Inc., 2007. Gutenberg College is a nonprofit organization, and contributions may be made at www.gutenberg.edu. This material may be copied and distributed in whole for non-commercial and educational purposes, subject to the inclusion of this introduction. All other rights reserved.
Institute of Gutenberg College. Wes has his PhD in educational policy. So I'm going to let Wes introduce our first speaker of this morning. Wes.
Before I introduce our first presenter, I want to just describe briefly what we hope is happening this morning. What's going to happen is there's going to be a series of presenters. The first presenter will have about a half an hour to share his or her thoughts with us, and then each presenter will be entered into a conversation with a tutor from Gutenberg College for about 10 minutes or so. So there won't be any questions and answers during the morning sessions. Then after each session, so we'll have a presenter, then a little dialogue, then a little break, then a presenter, and then a little dialogue, and then a break right up till lunch. In the afternoon, there'll be one more presentation and response on dialogue. And then the whole remaining afternoon has been reserved for a large interactive dialogue with everybody, question and answers. So what I'd like to do is to encourage you to make note of questions or issues that come up in the morning sessions or in these presentations and dialogues that follow, and hold those questions, if you would, till the later afternoon session. Let's get started. I'm going to invite Walter to start walking up here. Walter had the unfortunate event some weeks ago of breaking a leg. He was in an accident. And so this is Walter Steeb. Walter is a junior at Gutenberg College, and he hails from Kansas. And I'm going to let him explain his topic to you.
Stick in my pocket. Pocket's good. Yeah. Awesome. Hi, everybody. Good morning. My name is Walter, as Wes presented me. I do hail from Kansas, and I was asked to speak about my generation with regard to authority, our relationship, what I think that we think about it. And so I'm going to speak as a representative of my generation. And to start off, I think the most poignant statement that captures, my generation, as I'm representing them, our relation to authority is basically to say a big F you to authority. Not in so many words, but that's... So I'm going to try to defend that a little bit, talk about, my position. Oh, I can stand it. Okay. Thank you. So I suppose the first three types of authority that I'm going to, mention that have been, that came to mind when I thought of traditional authority would be the political or governmental authority, parental and familial authority, and then religious authority. And I only mention that because I'm in this community right now, really, as a representative of my generation. It's kind of a joke now. Any sort of religious authority is not respected in any way, I would say. I would say it's not even considered as an authority. I mean, certainly in lieu of our great Western civilization, we've seen the church has had that at some point, but by no means would I say does it hold any kind of authority for the majority of people in my generation. So I'm going to first try to tackle a little bit of the political authority, where I'm coming from with regards to that. And I would say mostly my knowledge of any sort of political authority or the way that I would, the way I think of how I gear myself towards any sort of political or governmental authority would be through the media. What I'm getting through that, through film, through television, music, newspaper, etc. And largely that's, I feel like, fairly a negative view. It's certainly not uplifting authority, maybe at times here and there. But when I think about listening to the radio, you've got DJs making jokes. I mean, we all have heard endless tiresome jokes about President Bush and the way he speaks, etc., etc. Just as an example, John Stewart, The Daily Show. I don't even know if that's popular anymore. That was a couple of years ago, but that sort of idea. I mean, that's, I suppose, what I think of when I think of political authority with regards to media. My own education has certainly not given me a very good picture of the current U.S. government or political situation. If I think about current U.S. history that's taught, what's stressed is Vietnam, Nixon, Watergate stuff, the Reagan-Iranian-Contra affair, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there's no reason to trust authority in that. I guess in the light of these things, I imagine your own generation probably feels the same thing, or at least would have a similar response, or did. In high school, my social studies teacher, from 10th through 12th grade, I had the same guy. He used to talk about how he was a man of the cloth at some point, and he had, I suppose, during the draft, he had let any of his students who didn't want to go to war sign up to be part of his congregation or something so that he could get them out. He, whatever branch of the church he belonged to, I don't remember now, they were pacifists, and so he could get any of his students, I suppose, out of the war. That doesn't really, I suppose, like, in relating that anecdote, it was, I mean, that's just undermining authority once again. That's sort of what I feel like my education did as far as any sort of governmental authority. I mean, I have little regard, little trust, little hope in the government for doing or being anything meaningful in my life other than, I suppose, supporting the, what's the word, the infrastructure. They do a good job with infrastructure. I can drive from place to place. Yeah. I don't know. Even when I think about law, I feel like for the most part, I've been told by professionals, by doctors, by lawyers, by my parents, by most professionals, that the law is very malleable. That I don't need to, I suppose, respect the law except for, I mean, obviously with good sense, so I don't get arrested. But for the most part, it's a necessity to break the law. There's no way to get around that at times. Doing taxes, et cetera, like it's just what you do. So for the most part, any sort of political or governmental in that realm, I don't feel like I've got a lot of reason to trust them. On the one hand, from at least what sources I hear about these things, and number two, I don't trust them. I'm going to try to deal with parents. This is real tricky because everybody has different kinds of parents. I didn't talk to anybody else about this to try to get a general idea of what parents do or how they assert themselves as an authority or come off as an authority. I know my own were incredibly relaxed. I had very little rules. I've never had a curfew. I don't recall ever having a bedtime in my life. I don't feel like my parents gave me a lot in the way of other maybe than some encouragement and every now and then forcing me to do something. Eat dinner when I didn't want to, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think of them when I think of an authority or think about if I ever had questions in my life, I wouldn't go to my parents to ask them to to answer them. If I thought about getting a job, changing schools, et cetera, I don't really have that relationship with my parents, I suppose. And I think most of my friends would probably agree that I grew up with. I realize in this community it's a lot different. But I would say for the most part, probably the parental authority figure is probably not very active. They probably, I can imagine, stay a little bit out of their kids' lives because they didn't like, at least from what I've heard from my own parents, they didn't like how much control their parents had over them. And they seem to try to... my parents, at least, have tried to convey that they've tried to give me something better by not intervening, by not trying to take over. And on the whole other side of that, even for parents who are trying to raise their children properly, I can only imagine. I didn't grow up watching very much television, but the this is the scenario I'm imagining for a family, is that you have... on the one hand, you have parents saying, this is the proper way to live, this is what we need to do, these are the rules, this is how we're going to live. And then you have the child growing up in the house and recognizing the perhaps the brokenness of the family, how hard it is to... I mean, I'm sure everybody has at least difficulties growing up and relationally with their parents, etc. And then you see what's on television, which is, for the most part, people enjoying themselves, fairly well-constructed lives, and I can just, I mean, I can see that very easily undermining any sort of authority that would go on with a parent, just because where was I? I'm connecting this somehow. With the child seeing a happy life and a way to live, you know, the whole MTV, go out and drink, and the way sexuality is advocated, et cetera. And certainly people seem like they're enjoying themselves much more than at least I'm sure it feels like at home for the most part. And I can very easily see that kind of tearing out any sort of parental authority, because you have a lifestyle at home and then you have another one dictated on television, and thinking about the way, or in seeing the way that it's dictated, or seeing what's on television, you can sort of erase what's going on at home. You can say, this is the wrong way to live. I've seen it on television better, and I'm going to go that way. That's all I'm going to say about that. I don't feel like I have a lot to say about parental authority. That seems to be kind of give and take with people I know. There doesn't seem to be a strong rebellion towards parental authority other than I think is a universal human trait. Like, kids just kind of want to do their own thing, I think. Maybe that's a generational thing, but I think kids just kind of want to do whatever, get their way. religion. As a representative of my generation, I'd have to say, really? An authority? If I ever saw a priest or any sort of churchman, etc., I don't think I would think twice about them as an authority or having anything even meaningful to say to me, for the most part. I myself personally maybe wouldn't say that, but as a representative of my authority, I think, or of my generation, I don't think I could really take the church seriously. With regards to the Bible, thrown out me as an authority, once again, couldn't take it seriously. I know there's a lot of kids in my generation that do talk about the meaningfulness of their youth group and their church and the Bible and trying to share the Ten Commandments, but I think for the most part, I just assume they're going to grow up someday. They're going to get out of that. We all have our phase. I remember in high school, I was a freshman in a study hall, and there was an upperclassman named Jacob, and I at the time I was in youth group telling him about something about the Bible or attending youth group, I don't remember, but I know for some reason this always stuck out, but he said we all go through that phase, you know, you'll get out of it, no big deal. And I would say my generation probably thinks that with regard to the rest of the Christian half of the generation. I think the other half probably thinks they're going to get out of it, they're going to recognize. There's no real, like, sense of anything significant going on with that. So anyhow, religious, political, parental, I don't feel like there's any real strong sense of authority. I don't necessarily feel like a need to rebel because they don't impress themselves on me very much either. So the idea of rebellion is kind of silly, but at the same time, it's kind of fun to play with, I suppose. The idea that I am rebelling is somehow gratifying. So now I'm going to try to explain perhaps why I dislike authority, or why I feel like it's been validated. And as I've gotten older, I've certainly recognized that I don't really like my relation towards authority in this way, but it's sort of become... I want to say necessary, but I'll just go into the reasons why I dislike authority, or at least would have sort of a heart of rebellion towards authority, perhaps. The individualism, we all hear that word tossed out again and again, of my generation, the individualism I want to think at perhaps the opposite end of respecting somebody as an authority is me as an individual and getting what I want. And it seems like my whole childhood, all I've ever been told is that I should get what I want. I can pursue my dreams. I can do whatever I want. As I get older, I'm going to be whatever I want. And I feel like everywhere from school to my home to television, I remember 80% of the posters at my school were athletes running and men wearing doctor suits telling me that I can, with some inspirational quote that says, you can do what you want, you can be what you want, etc. And then there's always the one in the nurse's office that had all the animals smoking cigarettes and saying, you look just as stupid as they do. but for the most part, I remember these quotes of just, pursue your dreams and they'll come true. So, I mean, with this in mind, what would I really let get in my way? Why would I want to respect an authority when on the one hand I have, like, everything's been promised to me, for me, done by me, through me, in some sense? And that, once again, these things are trying... I'm trying to show how authority sort of undermined what's given to me. The next thing I want to say, which I'm a little iffy on this one, is the scientific method, I feel like, teaches a certain skepticism, a certain doubt, or what goes on within the scientific community. And somehow that gets applied over to everything. Science certainly still has a certain hold in our society, and it's taught in a certain way in school. And with the respectability of science, I don't know how far that really extends, but I feel like that skepticism probably lends itself to other things, or that skeptical attitude, to be skeptical of things until they're proven to you. The media, I've already talked about that, how that influences us as a kid. I remember watching Reading Rainbow, and even other kids, as opposed to telling me about a book. It's all, don't take my word for it, do it yourself. And maybe that's to encourage reading, but on the other hand, maybe that's also sort of fueling the idea that I'm the ultimate authority for myself. I mean, I don't know. And then, of course, there's your generation and how that's affected me. As you all know, you took up your banners and fought the institutions and the ideologies that were and sort of handed that on to me to say, keep the fight alive. For better or for worse, I'm not sure. Wes last night said the revolution is dead, something to that effect. He said that it's failed. I feel like that's very true, although we still wear Che Guevara shirts and we walk around talking about the revolution and, you know, keeping it alive. I don't feel like there's really anything on the opposite end of that. I don't feel like there's any real... There's a spirit of rebellion, and it's sort of lauded and praised by your generation. It's sort of, you know, you guys are glad we're still carrying the banner. But I don't feel like there's anything on the opposite end of that that's really being fought. It's sort of empty. I mean, if you notice, a lot of it's... If I'm going to condemn any sort of authority or authority figure, it's a joke. We make jokes about it all the time. We can be ironic. We can be silly. But I don't feel like it's really geared towards anything in particular. There's no goal. There's no institutions we'd like to change. We don't even know what the institutions are. We don't care. I mean, we care for them so little. There's so much of a care for some sort of authority that we would even like to change it. But there certainly is this rebellious attitude for some reason, and I feel like a lot of that has been sort of perhaps the offspring of your generation just handing it down to us. And we're praised for it. If you think about a child, I mean, what's the child who rebels and sort of takes it his own way is oftentimes praised, I feel like. I know as a child when I would do things, unless it was obviously corrupt and evil and cruel perhaps to another child or an animal or something, I was sort of praised for going against the grain and doing things my way. I know in school, and then I was also in Boy Scouts for a short time, and in both scenarios, I was fairly rebellious as a child, and would speak out about things, and that was, I mean, I was a virtuous child because of that. Anyhow, so the kid who does what he wants, I mean, that's like, I don't know. I feel like that's your, what you guys want as a child. But along with all of this, I see I've only got a few minutes left, so I want to try to wrap this up. Along with all of this, there's also sort of a regret towards all of this, this posturing towards authority, I suppose. Maybe part of it's because it's empty, because I'm not rebelling against anything, really. I don't know what I'm rebelling against. There doesn't seem to be anything significant. And I know, once again, I talked about my parents not having a very strong, like, I don't have a strong sense of their authority for me. I know, although rebelling as a child and growing up fairly strongly, there was always sort of maybe a secret regret that I harbored that they weren't actually trying to, maybe that they didn't even give me anything to rebel against, that they didn't provide me with any sort of, like, backbone to, I mean, no foundation, really nothing. And I feel like perhaps a lot of my generation has a similar desire for authority. I don't know. I've been trying to capture the idea of, on the one hand, there's our motto of, you know, F authority, and on the other hand, there's a desire to reach out and grab onto to something. My friend worded it the other day. What did he say? Just look at the hordes of the. No, I won't go there. Anyhow, I know a number of kids in my life recently that have turned towards more traditional authorities as far as churches go. I'm in a religious community, so for the most part I'm with religious kids. So on the one hand, I have a number of my friends back in Kansas who have joined the Catholic Church, as well as who have an interest in the Catholic Church. And I know in our own community, we've had a small number of students at Gutenberg that have become interested in a more traditionally authoritative church. And I feel like there's something to be said for that. There's something symbolic about the Catholic Church, or symbolic about the Orthodox Church that sort of stands up for itself and asserts itself as an authority. And that's something that I feel like, I mean, that's my secret regret that I'm harboring. That's what I want. I want somebody to be an authority of sorts. Because for a long time, I really didn't know where to begin. And I had some other things to say. I think I'm supposed to be done at 9:30. A few minutes? Okay. And then on the other side of that, there's also the political activism, which isn't necessarily geared towards an authority, but it's the same, I guess, political activism that's not even really activism, because now it's being geared towards political parties in general. I mean, you've got to either be a liberal or conservative. And I know I have heard also a number of my more atheist, politically inclined friends talk about the way that one of them discussed it reminded me of, or made me think of, this idea of him I mean, this Nietzschean idea of going down in the abyss and having nothing. I mean, he would talk about how drained he was and how he had nothing at all. He felt very, very empty. And then he became a radical, what I call like fundamentalist activist. But once again, not necessarily activist, not doing things grassroots style, but just sort of latching on to some sort of political party and trying to do something. But very, very, very strongly, I mean, in a very extreme, passionate way. In the same way, I would say these people are going towards the Catholic Church, or even maybe Protestant fundamentalism, although that's probably a whole other issue. But I don't know. I know that I myself wanted an authority at some point. I went to the university straight out of high school, expecting some older, wiser man to help me, because I felt pretty lost at that point, to guide me, to teach me something, and that was a very naive expectation, that they would go out of their way to really talk to me outside of the curriculum and their lecture time. And I don't know. Certainly I've come to Gutenberg with somewhat of the same expectation, a desire for authority of sorts, but incredibly skeptical of it at the same time. And I still have a lot of skepticism towards it. But I wanted to end on this positive note that I feel like the only way that I could accept authority and that I would think is a healthy way to deal with authority is what's going on at Gutenberg. I'm fairly proud of Gutenberg. It's very exciting to me. But the idea of... I don't exactly know what it is other than you guys aren't selling me something. You guys are trying to be very honest. And by you guys, I mean tutors. I'm sorry, I'm looking at a tutor. But I should address you guys. The tutors, I feel like, are... You're not really demanding. You're not trying to sell yourself. You're not selling yourself as an authority, even. Although, certainly, I hope that you recognize that you are an authority to the majority of maybe every student, to some degree. And I suppose the lack of television hype around it, the lack of... I don't know, perhaps even lectures and things, this whole dialogue, the community that you've developed, certainly allows me to start trusting in some sense. And trusting you guys as an authority, because frankly, I mean, as a youth, like, I don't trust myself either. I mean, I rebel at myself just as much. So, I don't know, I'll maybe end it on that note.
I failed to introduce what I was supposed to do, which is introduce the dialoguer. And David Crabtree is going to step up and do that for a few minutes with Walter. David?
Thanks, Walter. That was very interesting. we'll just take a few minutes and kind of talk about what you have talked about, and I have some questions and some things that I'd like to bounce off of you.
Right.
I think rebelliousness is just a part of being young. I suspect that happens with every generation. But it probably manifests itself differently with every generation. So let me describe a little bit about when I was younger and how rebellion manifests itself and why it manifested itself, and then maybe you could interact with that and tell me how that compares with your experience.
Okay.
When I was young, the atmosphere was infused with a bit of Marxist theory, and the perspective was that these political and economic powers were in place and were using their power to oppress and keep everyone else under control and in subjection. And so the rebellion was against that. It was against the establishment. It was against the man. And so the rebellion was an attempt to try to free itself from those constraints. And so the rebellion oftentimes took a violent form, It could be either demonstrations, or it could be riots, or it could be groups organizing themselves to do subversive kinds of things. Or it could be, it didn't have to be that violent, but it was just various ways of saying, we will not be oppressed. We refuse to be oppressed. So there was kind of an ideological reason for it, and it took a fairly active form because of that. How would you describe the form that rebellion manifests itself in today, and is there any kind of ideological framework to it?
Yeah, the form, I would say, as I mentioned briefly earlier, sort of, I would say, through irony and through just joking about it. It's very safe. I would say even cowardly in a sense. Like there's no harm at the other end. But I feel like it's not a fear of oppression like you talked about. When I think of an authority, I guess because maybe I have no personal experience with oppression, I have no fear of it. It's not something that I'm even aware of. Maybe an authority doing is oppressing me in some way. Certainly, maybe with a police officer or something, taking away my, the moment. But on a large scale, I don't think of it in terms of oppression. I think of it, I guess, mostly. What comes to mind is this song lyric from Doug Marsh, which is "Everyone's telling you that everyone's telling you lies." It's just kind of like paranoia of distrust, perhaps. I don't know, maybe not even paranoia, but certainly distrust. And feeling that everybody is trying to sell themselves in some way, and telling you that it's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of broken promises in the sense like this will make you happy, this will get you this far, and then on the other side of that, there's someone not only telling you that they're lying about that, but there's also your own interaction with trying to maybe attempt to dabble in some of these things, pick them up here and there, and hope that they go somewhere, which they usually fall short. And maybe that's because of our own lack of commitment to actually, like, stick it through. But I don't know. About an ideology. I'm not sure what's necessarily behind that mentality, ideologically speaking.
So it wouldn't be oppression as much as it would be a fear of being manipulated and used, and
yeah.
Is that you're thinking?
Yeah, yeah.
And so there's just a mistrust of everything.
I suppose of being just a pawn to somebody in some sense, but not, being used, as being treated as less than something that's, I suppose, like a valid human, the individual who's going to be something.
Yeah. The Safeway store over here, not too far from here, remodeled a few years ago. And after the store reopened, after the remodeling, the atmosphere was completely different than it had been before. And it was nicer, but they had their little signs on the floor now that were advertising things. And the music they played was interrupted with ads for you to buy things. And when you go through the checkout stand, they would say hi to every person. They would say, "Hi, how are you? And did you find everything?" And it was obviously a set script. And I stopped going to the store because I felt so used, so taken advantage of. And I think that's, we're in an atmosphere where that kind of thing happens all over us, all around us, all the time.
Right, right.
And I'm sure that feeds into that largely.
Sure. And I've had the same experience at grocery stores time and time again.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like,
it's aggravating.
These people creep me out.
Yeah, it's aggravating.
Yeah.
One of the things that I hear most frequently from your generation is the expression, it's boring. Where do you think that comes from, and what's that about?
Yeah, I don't know. I wish I personally had an experience with a lot of boredom.
We have found the solution.
As I said, I don't necessarily have personal experience, so I kind of want to write it off as this the over intensity of stimulus from rock music to, I mean, I'm not against rock music in any way, but to a young child, as well as the films and how visually stimulating they are, I imagine at some point that gets you very excited. And I can just think about it, perhaps that affecting children in some way is sort of like pushing them over the edge of excitement, like we've gone so far, and everything from there is just going to feel downhill. It may not really be, but once you've experienced so many things, But I wouldn't feel like that would be particular to my generation. I imagine people said the same thing in your generation.
Well, but it seems to me that it's more prevalent now. Mm-hmm. And let me relate it to something else. You said that there were people who are looking for different causes and looking for authorities. Another thing that I hear from your generation very often is people want to find something that they can be passionate about. So they say they're bored a lot, and they say they'd like to find something that they would be that they can feel passionate about. And I think those two go together. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, what is it that brings that about? And I'm also wondering, is there some relationship to that and people's view of authority? I mean, can being bored be a form of rebellion?
Hmm. That's a funny way to put it. I've never thought about being bored in that sense. I feel like, for the most part, the sense of ennui, et cetera, that Wes talked about, as I said, I don't have a lot of experience with that myself, as well as friends. But I do certainly have a sense of an overall pointlessness, which goes along with the idea of an authority. If there's an authority that's structured things, there's certainly going to be some goal that it's going towards.
Right.
And without that, I mean, really, what do you do? I mean, what's the point in doing even hobbies? I mean, for the most part, what's the point in drawing if the drawing's not geared towards some greater idea? Mm-hmm. Which... Mm-hmm. If that helps.
Yeah, if there's no goal, there's no authority, makes no sense.
Yeah.
Let me give you several different sources of potential sources of truth, and just comment on them as sources of truth. Network news.
They're relating something. Certainly not trustworthy at all. I'd say everybody in my generation knows that. But they maybe give it something to talk about. From my own interaction, the only reason I read the news is so that I know when other people are talking, so I can maybe interact some. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I don't feel like there's probably any really verifiability or real relation to myself with it. So as an authority... they're probably privy to information, and then I think everybody's very skeptical of how it's being related. I think that they think they're an authority in the sense that they have the information, but the way they're sharing it is probably completely untrustworthy. I mean, maybe if you get 6 or 7 sources, you can maybe find something, a grain mm-hmm. of truth in all that. Mm-hmm. So, it's hard to think of them as an authority in that sense, but certainly the information they have would be authoritative if it were conveyed in a different way, perhaps. So.
How about science? Science says.
I think science is accepted. I don't know if it's thought of as an authority. I mean, when I think of anything going on in the scientific community today, or scientific publications and journals and ideas and what's being built, unless it's immediately pertainable, the iPod, the Honda robot, it's...
What's a Honda robot?
You might have to talk to Eric about that. His name is Asimo, and he's a... Anyhow.
Okay.
But unless it's interesting because it's entertaining in some way, I wouldn't say it has any real pertinence to my life. I don't think of it... I mean, it's too abstract. It's too out there. Going to space isn't exciting. Quantum mechanics isn't exciting. I would say probably not doubted, so in that sense it's probably an authority. That stuff is probably going on, but it's so far-fetched from anything to do with my
life. Well, what about science says if you eat peanuts, it'll give you cancer?
Right. That's back and forth. Sometimes, we obviously see these waves going towards the nutritionists and perhaps how you should hold the steering wheel while you're driving, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know. I mean, I feel personally that I write those things off almost immediately now. I could care less for a dietary health book or a nutritional guidebook. I suppose I go off of myself. If it feels okay, then I'm probably healthy. I don't know. I don't know many people that take those things seriously. There are numbers still, but I suppose the majority. I don't know. That's so back and forth still.
How about the internet as a source of truth?
The internet has everything.
How about as a source of truth?
What's that? Truth? It's a source of information, which is, I suppose, truth. I mean, speaking as somebody from my generation, I wouldn't make so bold a statement myself, but to try to represent my generation, I would say, what are you talking about when you say truth?
Okay. How about music, popular music as a source of truth?
Yeah. I didn't get to this in my lecture notes. There is a kind of authority that goes along with music, and I would say film as well, and perhaps television. But music and film predominantly, I know, if I think about speaking with somebody in my generation and they're going to try to convey something that they find important, it's going to be either song lyric, something they heard in a song, listen to the song. They're always going to defer to something else that's some sort of pop culture reference with film or music. And I myself do it. I mean, there's this common perpetual deferring to film and music. And I would say that certainly is somewhat of an authority for some reason. I don't know if it's because it's so emotive. It's just we can't tell that it's perhaps dishonest because it's so much at like a deeper emotional level as opposed to news reporters or newspapers is very just factual information, word-based. It's not going anywhere. I don't know. So I feel like there's that deferring, and in a sense that's an authority.
Yeah. That would be my observation, is that with your generation, music and videos, music and movies have become very authoritative in some way, that they strike a chord with people that rings true from time to time, and that has an impact on them.
Sure, and that's how we relate it to each other.
Yeah. One more line of inquiry. You were talking about this counter trend of people throwing themselves into subjection under some kind of authority. What kinds of authority do you think people from your generation might be attracted to serve that purpose? You mentioned Catholicism and Orthodoxy. What about ecological causes and that sort of thing?
I've been trying to think about this because this is what I've been going back and forth. Is are we really all saying F authority, or are we really like on the other side of things, screaming out, please, somebody, like something? I think with regard to whether it's environmentalists, the Catholic Church, some sort of political ideal. It's the only thing that would appeal to me is if it's said with conviction. There's something about somebody being convinced and being able to be convincing and on the other side of that. What's behind all of it, I don't know, because I feel like with everybody I know, with my friends, with just people that I meet around the city, it seems to be just whatever's a... I don't know, as you said, like this ideological trend, I don't know what's behind any of it other than something at some point kind of rings out that there's maybe some truth behind that, or mm-hmm. as I said, what truth, but maybe something's going on. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's the amount of maybe like when our despair level goes down so low, we get to a certain point and whoever comes out with some sort of convictive mm-hmm. or convicting statement at that minute, like you jump on board. I don't know, because it seems to go every which way. Mm-hmm. There doesn't seem to be any common thread. I mean, half of my friends are, you know, atheists with very strong, zealous political convictions. And on the other side, I have a number of friends still trying to deal with the church, and as I said, joining even the Catholic Church, to me is sort of a symbolic dynasty. It has a symbolic dynasty of authority, mm-hmm. Of being convicted about something, if anything's true. I don't know what's behind it.
If it is, if what they're attracted to is conviction, it seems to me that the religion in the world that has the most conviction right now is Islam. Would Islam be attractive to your generation?
Yeah, I think so. Especially to undermine the authority that's here that is very distrustive. I think at some point I could very easily see my generation going towards the allying themselves with Islam. I don't know. I was thinking about this as well. There seems to be that sort of emptiness, and I mean, it's kind of written off as anti-relativity, like this, the postmodern idea of that mm-hmm. everything's relative. I feel like the liberal notion that you guys had of things being relative, everything's okay, do whatever you want, is a much safer position than at least what my generation is doing. It seems like a much deeper, more harmful and kind of... I mean, the idea sickens me. Like a relativity that says it doesn't matter as long as it's said with conviction. Like, yeah. I'm kind of scared of it myself. Yeah. Like, it's, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think it's very possible. I mean, like I said, I don't know what's going to take hold at some point, but mm-hmm. I know for the past 6, 8, or 10 years, I don't know, I've certainly had this idea that some sort of fundamentalism, whether it's religious or political, or you know, is going to take over. There's going to be a new authoritarian or fascist rank that's just, I feel like at some point going to, mm-hmm. I don't know, take down the democracy that we have. I don't know if that's true, but mm-hmm. I've certainly had a fear of that for some time now because of that very relativity.
Right, interesting.
So,
yeah.